The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler. You know, all the times I wish to fly...
Hello, and welcome to episode 172 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Phoebe Germain.
Hi, friends.
What's going on, friends?
I have come back from a visit to the wonderful country of Wakanda, and I am a changed person.
Oh,
I
really?
See things anew. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Life-changing experience, huh?
Oh, yeah. When you visit, you'll understand. I hear a lot of people are going on today.
Yes.
Also known as Thursday and Friday. I've already been. I went last week because magic told you that I was. And I just want you all to know that M'Baku could be my husband. Just... throw that out there.
Just put it in
if
the
if you
universe.
Know him in real life. Just sprinkle, sprinkle. Let him know about me. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to, tell us without, giving us a spoiler?
For women, for my ladies of Glow, you will be happy to know that there's essentially a tribe of like Big E type dudes just hanging around shirtless. It's quite nice. And for our men's, no, not really. The car chase scene is lit as fuck. Yeah. But other than that, no, because I don't want to spoil too much for you all.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you're back from Wakanda, and you might be making a return trip, by the way.
I wanted to stay, and I think I might go back. But let me know when you all have gone, because I want to talk about what we saw.
Okay, yeah.
There's an embargo, because I have manners, but I want to talk about it.
We'll definitely have to direct people over to the Comic Book Chronicles in a week or so.
Yes.
Once they, decide that they're going to release their review of it, I'm pretty sure that'll be a highly awaited episode. You can find the Comic Book Chronicles and the WrestleCast on CSPN.us. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. You can follow the WrestleCast on Twitter at WrestleCast. You can follow Didi Jonet on Twitter at Didi Jonet. And you can follow me on Twitter at Don DeLaRente. So, Didi, we've got two articles of news. Our girl Tamina, she will be out for several months as she had to have rotator cuff surgery on her shoulder. So, at least she got to participate in the Women's World Rumble.
Yeah.
But
poor baby.
Yeah, no more Auntie Tamina for a while. So, good luck to her in her recovery. Hopefully everything goes well. And in our second bit of news, Rich Swann and the WWE have mutually decided to part ways. So even though the charges were dropped, as we reported a couple of weeks ago, looks like they could not come to terms or work anything out. And Rich Swann is back on the independence again. So hopefully, he can work hard. And in a couple of years, they'll, have no choice but to bring him back. But for right now, no Rich Swann in WWE.
R.I.P. the homie.
Yeah, R.I.P. the homie. Mm. Yeah, so I thought he would maybe be a surprise entrant into the cruiserweight tournament, but that will be no longer the case.
Aww.
So we'll get into Monday Night Raw. Don't know where Raw was from this week. I really stopped taking notes on where it's from.
Nope, don't know.
All right.
It was in California, right?
Yeah, somewhere in California. It was in San Jose, actually. Thank you. You jogged my memory.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, John Cena makes his way to the ring to kick off the show, and he talks about the importance of WrestleMania in making WrestleMania moments.
Boo.
He's here to face the truth. In 2 weeks, he has to win the Elimination Chamber, because if he doesn't, he isn't sure he'll have a road to WrestleMania. He has to survive.
He talks so much.
He has to survive the chamber and win to get a shot at an unbeatable champion in Brock Lesnar. He will win the chamber and he will go on to make history at WrestleMania. The Miz comes down with Axel and Dallas and disputes Cena's claim because this is 2018 and the year of the Miz. Miz claims that Cena is living in a fantasy world because Miz is going to main event WrestleMania and the Miz will beat Brock Lesnar. Cena laughs at Miz and claims someone in the crowd was laughing as well. He says Miz has no real chance against Lesnar, and if it happened, it would be Miz's last match. Miz says he won't make the mistakes Cena made because he's smart and will cross lines others will not, and that's why he beat Roman for the IC title. Miz reminds Cena that he beat him at WrestleMania. Cena says Miz at times can back up his words and challenges him to a match tonight, and the loser of the match enters the chamber match first. Miz says he's not stupid, and then Axel and Dallas attack John Cena. They lay him out, and Miz accepts, right now. Kurt Angle arrives and says this is not how they would start Raw, and he likes the idea of the match, and the match is on, and he tosses Axel and Dallas from the ringside area. Thoughts and concerns besides John Cena's long-windedness?
He talks so much! Like, I understand, and he needs a match and blah, 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 but he just talks so much that maybe it's a choice. Like, he talks so much to engender hate in everybody else so that we root for the other person, but then the other person is usually designated a heel, so I don't know why we would do that, but I hate him. I hate him.
All right. Oh, a funny thing Miz said in the promo. He said that John Cena was the original resident or the first resident of Suplex City or something like that. Yeah, that's pretty good. So we get John Cena versus The Miz. John Cena heads up top and The Miz crushes him and he locks on the figure four. Cena counters out into a crossface. The Miz makes it to the ropes. The Miz then hits the skull crusher finale, but Cena kicks out at two. The Miz sets Cena back up on the top rope, but Cena follows him, and Cena hits the Super AA and gets the win.
Ugh. Whatever.
So, the Miz will enter the Elimination Chamber first on the 25th.
That's so sad.
Yeah, the Miz had that pout face going on hard going up the ramp. It was unfortunate. Matt Hardy cuts promo about tonight's second chance elimination chamber qualifying match. Then we get the Good Brothers cutting a promo on the Revival, calling them nerds. Did you see the nerdometer?
I did.
Did you like the nerdometer?
No, I didn't.
No,
but I didn't actively dislike it. I was neutral.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Good Brothers versus the Revival. The Good Brothers make their way to the ring and get attacked by the Revival. Dash rolls up Anderson for two, but Anderson kicks out and hits a spine buster for his own two count. Dawson tags in, the Revival hits the Shatter Machine on Anderson, and they get the win. So, good job by the Revival, getting some get back on the Good Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this because I really like both of these teams, and they shouldn't be wrestling each other.
Well, who else are they going to wrestle?
I know. That's just the sake of the poor Raw tag team division right now. Ain't nobody going to wrestle.
got 3 hours and no tag teams.
Right. They just need to stop messing around and put Apollo Crews and Titus as a tag team.
Ultimately, just go back down to 2 hours.
Yeah, that would help too.
I mean, or both. We can do both.
Yeah, we can always compromise. You're right.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle comes out and says that Ronda Rousey will be signing her WWE Raw contract at Elimination Chamber.
That's not a thing.
Angle is here to give an update on Jason Jordan. Jordan had neck surgery last week and will miss WrestleMania. He can't keep his emotions to himself because he's a father. And he tells the crowd who is chanting yes and trying to get the yes chant going, if you get any joy out of this news, you should be ashamed of yourself. He says Jason Jordan may not be their favorite, but he's a human being and he's also Kurt Angle's son.
That's right.
Seth Rollins arrives. Rollins says that he's sorry about Jason Jordan, and he says he's been hard on him, but he's a good kid. Rollins knows what it feels like to have to miss Mania due to an injury, but that made him realize that Mania moments aren't guaranteed. Right now, he has nothing, but Angle says maybe Rollins can find a new partner. Rollins declines and tells Angle he wanted to be a big piece of Raw, but right now he doesn't want to be a part of Raw. He wants to be Raw. He wants to be the man one more time, and he wants Brock Lesnar and the Universal title. Rollins wants in tonight's second chance four-way. Angle hesitates, but Rollins makes his case, and Angle says it's up to the fans, and of course, the fans agree. Concerns, thoughts?
Nope.
Kurt Angle is like the genie from Aladdin. He gives you anything you ask for, just about.
I mean, you know why, right?
Why?
It's because he has guilt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Absentee father guilt?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just spilling over into all parts of his life.
I gotcha.
Doesn't want to be a disappointment. So it's like, okay, sure. And then to make him not look like a pushover, he's like, well, it's not up to me, you know, because that's what they do. It's not up to me. It's what do you want, you know? You know.
So Bray Wyatt cuts a promo about tonight's Elimination Chamber qualifier match. And then we have Bayley versus Sasha Banks. Banks locks on the bank statement, and Bayley fights and makes it to the ropes. Bayley sends Banks into the buckles, but Banks catches a charging Bayley with a big boot. They work up to the top, and Banks fights off Bayley. But Bayley goes back up and hits the Bayley to belly off the ropes for the win. After the match, Bayley offers a handshake, and they stare each other down. Just when it looks like something is about to happen, Nia Jax arrives and lays both of them out. Nia then says that this has everything to do with her. She said that Banks and Bayley took Asuka to her limit, and she just took them both out in seconds. And she, Nia Jax, will be the one to end Asuka's streak. This was my, like, second favorite thing on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's talk about the curls.
I love the ethnic curls. It does something for me. Like, if we're not going to have beat a bitch braids, I need curls.
Next best thing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Nia's so confident right now. She in the ring and on the microphone. This was a really good promo. You know, it was like 5 minutes, but it was very impactful. So good showing. And they keep teasing Sasha and Bayley, and it looked like, you know, in the match, Sasha was wrestling very heelish. And it looked like at the end there, before Nia came in, that, you know, Sasha was maybe going to pie face her or not shake her hand or something. But yet, do we get to extend it out another week?
I mean, it's been extended for about years at this point. I just don't know.
This is true, but I like the way they're doing it, though. They're not rushing. They rush everything else.
That's true.
So Seth Rollins and Roman, they are backstage. Roman jokes about Rollins working his magic to get into tonight's match. Roman says that he will eliminate Rollins like he did at the Royal Rumble. Then the Bar arrives and says Rollins will fail once again. The Bar then starts joking about Jordan and Ambrose rehabbing together and making sure to talk about how bad a tag team partner Seth Rollins is. It was all fun and games until Roman came and saved Seth, talking about, as Cesaro, what happened to his grill. And then then it wasn't so funny no more for the bar. Because, you know, that thing happened. We get a cool by the numbers video for Asuka. Details all her victories and title defenses and all the how many women she's, you know, beaten and everything. Is a really cool way to have her on the show without her being on the show. And then Renee interviews Apollo Crews and Titus Worldwide. Titus takes over the interview and he helps Apollo hype up tonight's match. This was pretty cool. Apollo Crews actually showed a little bit of personality. Crews can't lose. I liked it. Alexa meets.
Oh, the chant. Yeah, the chant was good.
Alexa meets with Mickey, and Mickey questions Alexa's motivation and says that they aren't friends. Alexa claims that she wants to clear the air and make things right for her actions from a few months ago. Alexa claims that she was jealous and kisses Mickey's ass. They face Mandy and Sonya tonight. Mickey says that they can team tonight, but at the chamber, she's coming after the title. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville versus Alexa Bliss and Mickey James. Alexa Bliss tags in, and she hits the double knees, and then she attacks and covers for a two. Mickey James tags back in, but Sonya Deville cuts her off, and she tags in Mandy Rose. Mickey James hits a net breaker and looks for a tag, but Sonya Deville takes Alexa Bliss off the apron, stopping the tag. Mandy Rose attacks Mickey James. She hits the grand slam, and Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville get the win. After the match, Absolution attacks Mickey James, but again, Alexa Bliss makes the save. Anything here you'd like to add?
No, they're boring to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now for the segment of the week and all of wrestling. Elias sings the Elimination Chamber Blues. He runs down San Jose and all the cities in California. He reminds us he beat John Cena and Strowman last week. Elias says, you know, got the crowd, you know, in the palm of his hands. They were cheering. Now they're booing. All of a sudden, Braun arrives. He has a mic and a giant double bass. He tries to play the guitar while he's singing and ends up breaking his strings. But he sings a song for Elias, telling Elias that he's about to get these hands. Braun Strowman heads to the ring, and he brings the bass with him. Braun puts the bass down, and he enters the ring. Elias attacks, and he gets the guitar, but Braun cuts him off and starts to smash him with the guitar. After that, the big power slam follows, and Braun stands tall. Elias tries to escape, and Braun grabs the bass and follows him up the ramp. Braun then smashes Elias across the back with the bass guitar, and Elias is dead on the ramp.
He carried that double bass like it was a damn banjo. It was great. Like a damn ukulele. Like, it draped across his lap, and it looked like the size of, like, an oversized guitar. But that's because Braun is, like, a million feet tall and a ton. Like, he weighs a ton. He's just a big guy. That was a great visual.
Yes. Like, when they showed it from, like, behind the ring where they had, like, Elias in the middle of the ring, and then you saw Braun sitting up on the stage with that big bass on his lap. Man, that was good. That's one of the, you know, rare iconic moments people be talking about, like, 5 years from now.
It was funny because you could hear like a low murmur from the crowd, and I was like, they see somebody. It's like, who they see? And then like 10 seconds later, they turn the camera and you see him in his spotlight with that damn double bass. I was like, sometimes they get it really right.
Right. Who's ever in charge of his creative, they are on the mark. So we get Roman Reigns versus Sheamus. Cesaro distracts Reigns and Sheamus rolls him up for two. A knee strike follows and Sheamus covers for a two count. They go to the floor. Roman takes out Cesaro and then posts Sheamus. the drive-by is cut off, and Sheamus heads up top, and he jumps right into a spear, and Roman Reigns covers for the win. So we have to take our drink for our distraction finish.
Hey. Oh, I want you all to know I'm drinking, I drank it all. Sweet tea and bullet bourbon. It was quite nice. Mm. Or, you know, a bourbon of your choice. It's not like we're sponsored.
Right.
Yet. Wink, wink. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of wink, you join that through CSPN.us. Get you some wine. Get $20 mm-hmm. off your first order. So there's a little mini plug for Wink.
Yes. You can pick or you can just let them pick for you. Personally, I like to be in charge of my libations. So I picked my four wines.
We have Finn Balor versus Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt versus Apollo Crews versus Seth Rollins and our second chance Elimination Chamber qualifier.
So many people.
Yes. Rollins fights off the powerbomb, but Crews hits the standing shooting star press for a two count. Apollo Crews heads up top, but Matt Hardy cuts him off and follows him up. They trade strikes, and Bray Wyatt pulls Matt to the floor, and he hits Sister Abigail. Bray Wyatt follows Crews up to the top, but Baylor and Rollins are back, and they hit the Tower of Doom, and Rollins and Finn both pin Bray Wyatt. So we go off the air with both men celebrating, both men have won. There's no resolution. The ref is just standing there kind of like,
oh, no, what are we going to do?
Right. So later on, after Raw went off, Kurt Angle resolved the measure by saying that both Finn and Seth will be a part of the Elimination Chamber.
I.e., this is your very first seven-man Elimination Chamber match.
I would have preferred them to have a match on Monday to decide between them two.
But I'm kind of glad that I don't have to choose between my faves.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Like if it becomes a either or both, I'd rather have both.
Okay. Well,
because I like Seth now, and I'm always a fan of Balor Club.
Right. You know. So what'd you think about this episode of Raw?
What? 4 out of 5? No. 3 3/4 gummies out of 5?
Okay. Yeah. This one was a little heavier on the entertainment than the past couple have been. The past couple had a little bit more wrestling. This one had a few more talking segments and things, but of course, the Braun segment was definitely the standout, and then the Nia Jax segment I thought was really well done as well.
Yeah. I would agree with that, yes.
All right. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Didi Jonet and her SmackDown Matters report.
Hey. Okay, so this week they're in Bakersfield. Last week, we heard that Ziggles and Baron Corbin would be in a match. But I don't remember what happened, but what you need to know about today is their match is going to determine who will join the AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match at Fastlane. Because that wasn't discussed, I don't think, last week. So moving on, Ziggles comes to the ring for that match. He's been gone 7 weeks, whatever. We're waiting for Baron to come out. He doesn't come out. They go backstage. You see Cammy putting the paws on Baron Corbin. So then Cammy head to the ring and put the paws on Ziggles as well. They're in the crowd, they're at ringside, whooping that ass. Sammy hits Ziggles with a haluva kick.
Somebody's mm-hmm. daughter almost didn't make it. You see that?
Oh, really? No, what happened?
Okay, like Ziggles was coming from one side and Sammy and Kevin were coming from the other side. And uh-huh. from the side that Ziggles was coming up, it was this little girl. She's probably about 4 years old because they were out in the crowd in the seats.
Right.
And Ziggles was coming up, and literally at the last second, he kind of sidestepped her and then went after Sammy.
Oh, she almost got ran over?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotta watch your kids. Anyway. You know, I'm awful. So Corbin runs down to make the save. He gets beat up. So that's that. Then they go to commercial. They come back. It's Charlotte versus Sarah Logan. Because I guess at some point she has essentially said Charlotte. That she's going to whoop the whole Riot Squad's ass. One by one. Because she does that. So, of course, Sarah Logan comes down with Ruby and Liv. Becky come out. And so does Naomi. They each come out to their music. So you get your good Naomi moment. She's got a multicolored wig this time. Over her regular wig, so it's bright, it's nice. They're essentially the Powerpuff Girls. We've discussed it, we love it. To the match, Flair's in control, Liv tackles her to the ground, Charlotte misses a boot, and Logan gets a near fall. She sends Logan headfirst into the turnbuckle and hits a natural selection for the win. That's very short. Sarah was in control for most of the match, but, you know, she's still a loser. Next is Ruby Wyatt. So she's working her way through the girls. In the back, Shane's mad at Daniel. Nobody is surprised. He announces Aaron and Dolph versus Sammy for later tonight. If Corbin and Ziggles are victorious, they're going to be added to the Fast Lane main event. He tells Daniel that if either of his boys, he's talking about Cammy, get involved in the other one's match, then they're automatically out of the main event altogether. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, first up is Baron versus Kevin. Owens gains control. He sends Corbin shoulder first into the ring post. He makes a comeback hitting the deep six. Owens sets up for the pop-up powerbomb, but he counters into the end of days for the win. Therefore, Fastlane main event is now a fatal four-way, including Corbin. Bobby Roode comes out to the ring because he's glorious and announces that the championship open challenge will continue. He says he wants Randy Orton to meet him face-to-face instead of giving him RKOs out of nowhere. So Orton comes down to accept, but then comes Jinder Mahal. Mahal mocks Randy Orton for ranking at number 9 on the SmackDown Top 10 after 16 years. And he's like, isn't it upsetting to you that Bobby Roode is number 5 after 6 months? And that seems like, has it been 6 months? It's mm-hmm. crazy. Seems like it was just yesterday. Glorious. Anyway, point being, ain't you mad that everybody liked Bobby Roode better? Bobby knows that you're talking a lot of shit considering you didn't make the top 10 at all. Boom, roasted. And he says he respects all lives. However, he says that Orton is probably number 9 because nobody likes getting hit by the RKO out of nowhere. And out of nowhere, Randy Orton hits Nelson Singh with an RKO. Mahal gains the upper hand, and hits the collars on both Randy and Bobby.
Hold on. Slow down a little bit. Before you move on to the next thing.
Yes.
I thought for a split second that that Jenner was about to say, Randy, you have no friends. I was about to say, run us our tickets right now.
Wait, we deserve.
Right. I swear to God, I thought that was going to be like the next thing that came out of his mouth.
Listen, I'm sure it was probably based in that. Because, come on. Oh, Lord, that would have been funny. I really would have been like, run me my run me my WrestleMania ticket and run them now. And I want my flight. Thank you. Give me my things. But yeah, the New Day come out to the ring to celebrate Pancake Tuesday. There's a table in the ring with all sorts of trays of pancakes. They're in their finest of Black History Month Wakanda garb. Big E was on Twitter saying, why, yes, I am in Black History Month kente cloth. And yes, I am dressed up for Wakanda Day. Like, I don't want to hear nothing about it. He was like, if you've got questions, I don't have answers. I said what I said. Enjoy my outfit. But y'all appreciate. Don't defend your shit. Like, you looked good. All y'all did. It was beautiful. So, Xavier announces that Big E is going to eat 113 pancakes in less than 8 minutes to break the world record. Do you know how hard it is? to eat 113 pancakes.
Yeah.
Like, pancakes are essentially sponges. Like, you gotta eat them dry?
You would need some type of syrup or something.
He, like, to eat them in bulk, he would need, like, hot water or something. Like, you gotta get, that's just a lot of bread. But anyway, Chad Gable and Shelty interrupt the pancake eating contest because it's disgusting to Gable. And it was really nasty with, like, the big handfuls of, like, pancake in Big E's mouth. I don't know. It was gross. Funny, but ew. They tell the New Day to open their own IHOP and leave the wrestling to the serious competitors. And then, to the utter dismay and anger of Big E, Shelty and Gable flip a tray of pancakes on the ground. And Big E is ready to rock and roll, okay? He is ready to put the paws on them. So that starts a New Day match versus Shelty and Chad Gable. They isolate Kofi. Kofi almost makes the tag, but Gable pulls Big E off the apron. He gets the hot tag. Eventually, he runs wild. Referee misses Chad tagging Shelty because Woods was what? Causing a distraction. And then New Day hit the Midnight Hour for the win. Drink.
Chad Gable with the fantastic feat of strength, putting Big E in that Chaos Theory, deadlifting his ass.
I didn't see that part. I don't know what I be doing when SmackDown is on. I know I watch my show. Do I be drunk? No, I wasn't drunk on Tuesday. Anyway, backstage, Renee interviews Ziggles. He says the only reason he returned is to do the one thing he has not done yet, which is headline WrestleMania. In a dark room backstage, the Usos warn all tag teams that nobody can beat them for the tag team championship. And they're doing their whole lockdown Uso penitentiary. It's very atmospheric. We love it. But the screen shatters. It's the Bludgeon Brothers who have destroyed a monitor and they're part of the arena. And then they just kind of stare off into space like the psychos that they are. Yeah. So, next, Sammy's about to head to the ring. Kevin approaches and tells Sammy not to lose and disappoint him. And Sammy's like, well, I'm pretty disappointed in you for losing earlier. And he's like, just know that at Fastlane is every man for himself. So, you know, Sammy being a little ginger snappy, you know? A little ginger snappy with Kevin. So, final match of the night is Ziggles versus Sammy. Sammy has the early advantage until Ziggles connects with a standing dropkick. He regains control, wears down Ziggles. Ziggles makes a brief comeback, gets a near fall, and then Sammy gives Ziggles an exploder from the top turnbuckle, but he misses the haluva kick, and Ziggles hits, there's a lot of Z's in this, and then Ziggles hits the zigzag for another near fall. Sammy attempts the haluva kick again, but Ziggles connects with the super kick. Therefore, your Fastlane main event is a fatal five-way. AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, and Baron Corbin. Boom. You're welcome.
Too many people. And both of these guys. Good God.
I mean, I don't understand what the point of this is if Ziggler doesn't win. Because what are you coming back for if he did, like...
I don't get anything with Dolph Ziggler right now.
You know, like, I don't know why they would push him, but if he's not going to win, what did he come back for?
I thought the Usos thing was fantastic. That was a great way for them and the Bludgeon Brothers to actually, like, kind of get set on a path without them, like,
start a thing.
Yeah, without them having to touch or, like, be in the same place at the same time. And you got to give a big shout out to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Because they actually had people cheering for Baron Corbin and had sympathy for him in that match, which, you know, before Tuesday night, I never thought I could see anybody do that, especially not another heel. So
that's because these fans are soft and they don't have conviction in their feelings.
Good job with them. And I like the way the show started with that beatdown. It was something fresh, something different.
Yeah, that was different. Because it was like, why he ain't come out?
Yeah.
And then it's like, he getting his ass beat. And it's like, who did it? And it's like, it should be obvious. But it's just like, not Sammy. Sammy's not involved in the beatdown. He would never. Kevin's a bad influence.
For sure. But you know what's a good influence, Didi?
What?
Keeping the podcast free here at CSPN.
Yes.
You can do that by going to our website, cspn.us, scrolling down, clicking on the tab that says Keep the Podcast Free, then shop with our sponsors. Shop with Amazon. Buy something that you need coming up Mother's Day. It's Easter as well, so you may need a new Easter bonnet. Go on Amazon. Amazon.com through CSPN. Do your shopping as usual, and some of your purchase will come back to us here at CSPN to help keep all the podcasts here on the network free each and every week. So CSPN.us and Amazon.com. Do it today. All right, Didi, moving to NXT. We start off fast. We start off with Pete Dunne versus Roderick Strong in a WWE United Kingdom title match. Pete Dunne hits the X-Plex, but Roderick Strong counters the bitter end with strikes and then knee strikes. Roddy hits a Tiger Bomb for a near fall, and then he locks on the Stronghold, but Pete Dunne attacks Roderick's hand, and Strong has to roll to the floor. Dunne hits a running kick, and then he hits the bitter end to get the pin and retain his United Kingdom Championship. This was a very good match, very strong match. Pete Dunne was working on Roderick Strong's like fingers, doing the, you know, popping his joint manipulation with his fingers. So every time he would get in trouble, he'd just grab his fingers and pop his fingers. So that's the reason why that he was calling back to that. Yeah, this was really good. We get a Velveteen Dream promo about facing No Way Jose next week. And then Velveteen Dream runs down Tyler Bate before walking off. Didi, you would approve of this next segment. Aleister Black now arrives wearing a nice suit. He was wearing this like all black suit, 3-piece suit.
Mm.
He said,
"Ooh, Aleister Black did."
Uh huh.
Ooh. Wait, no. I said I wasn't crushing on white men until March 1st. Go ahead.
He says his path has gone one way, and while he's been pushed to his limit, there's a devil on his back driving him, and that devil is the NXT Championship. Killian Dane interrupts, and Dane says the devil isn't on his back. Killian Dane is. And Killian Dane will not stop until the NXT title is around his waist. But if Black has a problem with that, Dane warns him that his path will be stopped by chaos. Aleister Black says that Dane has crossed them, so Dane must fade to Black. Aleister Black was looking like a champion. Like a world champion, like a WWE world champion in this black suit. So, yeah, the very good showcase of potential championship, you know, material for him. Definitely, this was good. This is a good promo for both guys. TM61 versus John Skyler and Andrew Duntworth.
What are they, the majority?
The Mighty Don't Kneel.
Oh, the Mighty Don't Kneel. Yeah.
Thorn hits a dropkick, and Miller tags in, and he runs wild. Miller hits a DDT and then a spine buster. Thorn tags back in and hits the corner cannonball. TM61 hits the greetings from Thunder Valley, and they get the win. So another strong effort over another jobber team, just building up TM61. To enter the tag division, you know, get some wins and be some legitimate contenders. So when they get to move up here, and I guess them and Street Profits, I guess, will maybe be having a number one contenders match or something coming up here soon. We have Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler in our NXT Women's title match. Baszler gets Ember into the armbar, but Ember makes the ropes. Ember gets a cradle, just like she did at the NXT TakeOver Philly, but this time she only gets a 2 count. Baszler then runs Ember into the post, and then she sends Ember to the floor. Baszler follows and attacks Ember's arm in the barricade, literally trying to rip it off. Kairi Sane arrives and makes the save, which causes Ember to get DQ'd. So Kairi Sane beats up Shayna Baszler, and Shayna Baszler eventually has to retreat. So
What? Beats up who?
Yeah, Shayna Baszler.
Beats up MMA, bitch?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you really.
Kari did. You know why? Because Kari's a wrestler.
I was thinking of you watching this match, and when Kari Sane came out and they ran her off, I was like, Dee Dee would be so into this. You would have been mad, though, because, like, Ember, she was winning, and then, like, Shayna went to the floor, and then she did this big dive, and she put Shayna, like, over the announce table, but when she did the dive, she hurt her arm again.
Mm-hmm. And,
then after that, Shayna just started, you know, working on her arm, working on her arm, working on her arm, and then she literally had her arm, like, through the barricade in, like, some type of, like, hold. And that's the reason why Kari Sane came out, because she wasn't, like, letting go, trying to get the match back in the ring.
Just trying to whip ass and not wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was this was really good. That main event slash angle was top-notch. High quality stuff. So, good episode of NXT. That opening match was really good. And then, of course, this main event slash angle was fantastic. So, again, another strong effort from NXT. Our last review will be for 205 Live, Kira Tozawa versus Mark Andrews in our Cruiserweight title tournament match. Dasha interviews Andrews before the match, and he's excited about his chance tonight, and he looks forward to the opportunity to make it to WrestleMania. Mark Andrews hits a Hurricanrana off the top for a near fall. Andrews then heads up top, and he hits the shooting star press. Goes for the shooting star press, but he misses. He rolls through as Akira Tozawa looks for a roll-up. Andrews counters, and he gets his own roll-up, and he scores the pin. So Mark Andrews will advance in the tournament.
Nice.
Jack Gallagher versus Mustafa Ali is set for next week. Drake Maverick appears and tells Gallagher he better have proper ring gear next week and to sort himself out.
There's something so shady about telling somebody, sort yourself out.
it's just
like you don't have your life together. Just...
basically. Buddy Murphy versus Arya Daivari is also set for next week. And then we get this video of Buddy Murphy trying to make weight, like a training montage of him trying to make it underneath the 205-pound limit. So he weighs like 204.5 pounds. So he's just underneath the limit, so he qualifies for the Cruiserweight tournament. So that was a pretty cool little video. Then next up, we get Drew Gulak versus Tony Nese in another Cruiserweight title tournament match. Gulak slams Nese's head into the announce table from the apron. Gulak then slams Nese's head into the announce table again and again. The ref tries to break it up, and then Gulak finally rolls Nese back into the ring. Gulak then turns Nese inside out with a lariat. Gulak follows up with two power bombs. Gulak then locks in the dragon sleeper, and Nese is out, and the ref has to stop the match, and Drew Gulak advances in the Cruiserweight tournament.
Yay!
Unfortunately, for those of us who have fallen in love with the funny Drew Gulak, he's basically got rid of all of that. He's like straight serious, like the Indies Drew Gulak, where he's like looking for submissions and being real vicious. So, yeah, we won't get the Captain Underpants Drew Gulak anymore.
It looks like. That was so fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Triple H is basically doing a 180 on everybody. Like, you know, basically Gallagher has started for his, you know, heel persona. He started, you know, wrestling in the suit. So, you know, now the dude came in and told him he can't wrestle in the suit. They got to have proper ring attire now. So they're just changing everything up.
Wow.
So far, these are the people who have advanced in the 205 Live Cruiserweight Tournament. We have TJP, Cedric Alexander, Kalisto, Roderick Strong, Mark Andrews, and Drew Gulak. And next week we'll have Buddy Murphy versus Arya Daivari. And I forgot what the other match was. I did not type it. Jack Gallagher and Mustafa Ali as well. So we'll have two more matches. Like the Mixed Match Challenge has done wonders for 205 Live. It streamlines it. It makes it shorter. And it's highly enjoyable now. Because they don't have a lot of time to mess around with.
They got to get it straight to the point.
Right. The only thing that sucks, though, is the crowd. The crowd is burnt out because, you know, this is the, you know, third hour or whatever. If they could shoot this show before SmackDown, it would have a whole different feel to it.
Mm.
But they're not.
It'll probably be empty if they did, huh?
It'll be about the same as it is now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see people literally like these dudes killing each other, having like fantastic matches, like Hideo Tommy and Roderick Strong a couple of weeks ago. They had a great match. And you literally see people like in the front row, like looking at their phone.
Trying to stay awake.
Yeah, it stinks, man. That's why they should really think about just screw the live part of it and just, you know, shoot it before.
Yeah.
So the guys can get the proper cheers and things that they deserve. But the wrestling part of it and the presentation part is definitely stepping up. You can tell that Triple H is in charge right now. It definitely feels different. Did you watch those TNA people this week?
I watched the last hour, yes. When I turned, there was a tag match between Brodus Clay, that's not his name over there, but we know who that is, and EC3, who I thought was gone. So that was weird. And Johnny Mundo or Johnny Impact and somebody who I don't remember. But yeah. And then who won? It was EC3 and them. EC3 and Titus won. Yeah, that's who won. And then I don't know if I'm missing a match. And then Austin Aries had to defend his title with the guy he won it from, who was a guy. I miss to remember his name, but Bobby Lashley, drinking bourbon. Right? No, it's a white guy.
Oh, don't give me that line because I don't know nothing about TNA besides Bobby Lashley.
Nah. Oh, look, Eli Drake. That's his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Eli Drake. Is this the one that I watched? But yeah, it was Eli Drake, I'm pretty sure. And at one point, Austin Aries dove out of the ring he ran into Eli's friend, I don't know his name, and he pushed over because Impact is not like the WWE. WWE barricades really don't move, and if they move, they just push back a couple inches. Impact still has the metal barricades. So he pushed it and it tilted over onto the front row, which was still with like 50 and up. Like they looked old. And so you could see that like he kind of broke character and was like, y'all okay? Are y'all alright? And then he like pulled the barricade back off their legs like, oops. And I was like, really? Really? But yeah. So yeah. He attempted to dive, and that's when what happened. And then Eli picked up Aries and, like, threw him into the ring apron. But when they got back into the ring, Austin hit Brainbuster to retain his title. But this week, Johnny Impact is world championship title. Because I guess World Championship and Impact World Championship are two different things. But anyway, Johnny has his title defense against Ethan Carter, and then Alberto El Patron will fight Moose. And we like Moose.
Okay. So that's the new Impact. A little bit of a Impact report from Miss Didi Jonet.
Oh, wait, I can give you more. I didn't see it, but X Division champion Taiji Ishimori defeated El Hijo de Fantasma to retain his title. And then Brian Cage, the one with the big old muscles, defeated John Cruz.
AKA Melissa Santos' baby daddy. She had a baby a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yay, have a baby. Work. And then EC3 and Brodus Clay, it was Johnny Impact and Matt Sydal. But I was right. Ethan Carter won. And then before I turned, because I remember I watched Drag Race. So during the 8 o'clock hour, Rosemary defeated a girl named Hania. I don't know. And then Bobby Lashley is still wrestling. he defeated Sami Callihan by DQ. So that's what happened.
Okay. Like you said, Impact, their new reincarnation. They're, you know, trying to get people back to watching. Oh, and they said they were in Florida. Yeah, I think this was the beginning of the new taping, so they still may have a couple of their older tapes still in, and they're kind of about to cycle through to the Canadia stuff.
Okay, because I like Canadia.
At this time, I'll open it up to you for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Shout-out to Wakanda. It's a beautiful place. I hope you all visit multiple times. Shout out to the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Got a lot of letters in that museum, but they're the ones who had the pre-screening, which is why I was able to visit Wakanda before Thursday.
You got to watch,
like everybody else.
You got to watch Black Panther in literally the blackest place in America.
In the Black Museum. Yeah, in the Black Museum.
That's pretty
cool. In the Oprah Winfrey Theater. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was great. And what made it so funny was I was three seats down from white people, and I was like, I don't want to sit next to them.
Looking around like
I don't want to.
Looking around like, who let them in here?
Yeah, and then they were early. And then they were, of course, they weren't dressed up. So it was just like, but no, I saw a picture of this white guy dressed like Akeem the Dream.
Yeah, I did too.
I was like, but you know, participation. Did you do it with the right spirit? If you did, I'm not mad.
At the arena the other night, to tell you how big this movie potentially can be or will be. There's this older gentleman, probably in his 40s or whatever, maybe his early 50s. And he's like, yeah, I've never watched any of these Marvel superhero movies, Iron Man, blah, blah, blah. He was like, but I'm going to go see this new one, though. He was like, I want to see the dude from Creed.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No spoilers. He's a damn good villain. He's good. he's really good. And what makes it so bad, and AKA so good, is he be talking a lot of stuff, and you'd be like, "Oh yeah, he ain't wrong." And that's when you know you got a good one, when you can agree with the idea, but you don't necessarily agree with how he went about it.
Sounds like The Miz.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, heal his life, so my loyalties were divided. But anyway, thank you to the Black Museum. Thank you to Wakanda. Y'all get shout outs. Shout out to Dora and all her people. Shout out to the men in the mountains. If you go to Wakanda, you'll know who I mean. Bless. Shout out to bourbon. Shout out to whiskey. Shout out to days off work. I was off on Monday. Yeah, that's it. Don, your shout outs?
I'd like to give a shout out to my SmackDown Matters correspondent, you, Mr. Dijonet. Give a shout out to the chairman, Jamal. Give a shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Give a shout out to Sam and Greg. Give a shout out to The Glow. Give a shout out to Jade Cinemax. Oh, Maurice, you might have a disciple here in Jade Cinemax. She tweeted out that Sonya Deville is starting to grow on her a little bit. If you don't know, Maurice is on the campaign as seeing Sonya Deville as a future WWE Women's Champion. So, yeah. Give a shout out to everybody who was in the Raw cast, SmackDown Matters, and NXT cast this week. And, you know, everybody who listens to the podcast, please, you know, subscribe, download, share. Also, give us ratings and reviews. That does help spread the word and, you know, get more ears and more listens. It helps, you know, sell more ads and keeps the podcast free. So, please, you know, support us by listening and interacting, but also rate and review, because people do, you know, tend to read those when it comes to discovering new podcasts. So help us out that way as well. And in that case, for my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonet, I'm Don DeLorente. This has been episode 172 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Elimination Chamber. Ronda Rousey will be signing her Monday Night Raw contract. Now, the other news is last Monday night when Raw went off the air, my son, Jason Jordan, and I went to a local medical facility where Jason had an MRI done to his neck. Jason was told he'd have to have neck surgery. He had the surgery the following day, and he will be out of commission, and unfortunately, he will miss WrestleMania. You know, I come out here every single week, calm, cool, and collect with a smile on my face, but I can't do it anymore. I'm going to talk to you tonight, not as the GM, but as a father. If any of you get any kind of joy out of seeing a WWE superstar get injured and risk WrestleMania, then you should be ashamed of yourself. I know Jason Jordan might not be your favorite WWE superstar, but he is a human being, and he is my son. And all I want is for you to wish him get better wishes on his return, that's all.
Kurt, look, I'm sorry about Jason, man. Honestly, I was pretty hard on him last week, but the truth is he's a good kid and he's in a tough spot, I should know, I've been there. I tore up my knee, I had to forfeit the title, and I missed WrestleMania. But missing WrestleMania made me realize the WrestleMania moments, they're not guaranteed, and you can't take that for granted, and that's why I'm out here, Kurt. WrestleMania's right around the corner. I don't have a title, I don't have a Money in the Bank contract to cash in this time. Hell, I don't even have a match at Elimination Chamber. When you came to Monday Night Raw as a general manager, you told me you wanted to be a mainstay of this place. You wanted me to be a big piece of Monday Night Raw. Well, I gotta be honest with you, right now I don't want to be a part of Monday Night Raw. I don't want to be a part of Monday Night Raw. I want to be Monday Night Raw. I want Brock Lesnar. I want the Universal Championship. And I want it at WrestleMania. But the only way I can do that if I win the Elimination Chamber match. Let's take this second chance fatal four-way match. Let's turn it into a fatal five-way and put me in the match.
Well, in all honesty, it's not ultimately up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to them. Do all of you want me to give Seth an opportunity to make it to the Elimination Chamber? I think you have your spot. You have your opportunity.